Welcome to the 17th episode of the Tiny Nimble podcast, which is also the first episode after 3 months where our schedules haven't really allowed us to record, so it's great to be back, and there is lots of exciting new mobile gaming announcements to discuss today with my co-host and fellow YouTuber, Tiny Little Games. I mean, we've got Battlefield Mobile, at least an alpha version of that. We've got Pokemon Unite that released. There's a new Pokemon trading card game coming to PC and mobile. And then, just a few days ago, we got the latest news from the Genshin Impact developer miHoJo. I guess it was actually a leak this time, that they're working on a new game as well. And let's not forget about the Epic versus Apple lawsuit that finally ended. So much good stuff. So I hope you'll strap in and enjoy this episode. You know, get your cup of coffee, tea, Coke, whatever you prefer to drink, and just lean back and enjoy. And before you do that, do us a favor and leave a like and subscribe or rate the podcast depending on where you're listening. And then we will get started, as we always do, with our righteous recommendation of the month. And so with that, over to you, Tiny. What has been your favorite game this past month?
Okay, I'm glad that you mentioned grab your coffee, because I do have my coffee ready, so if anybody hears me slurping in their ears, I do apologize.
Perfect.
Actually, no, I'll do my best not to slurp in anybody's ears. So my righteous recommendation for this month, and Nimble has told me this is kind of a controversial one, so I'm very curious to see what you guys think. I chose Marvel Future Revolution. Now, before everybody, before everybody boos me and awes me in the comment section, I have some things to say about this game. Marvel Future Revolution is an MMORPG like every other MMORPG that you've played. It has bog standard quest design, average combat, and I know this is not sounding that great so far. I mean, and really, the quest design is kind of bad, because you're just running back and forth to the quest giver and to combat sections, just like every other MMORPG. But what I will say, what Marvel Future Revolution does good is it contains one of the best Marvel storylines to exist. I'm not over-exaggerating here.
Huh, interesting.
I'm a comic book fan from back in the day, and I love all the Marvel movies. I've watched them all. This storyline brings all these Marvel characters into like the same universe, and it involves the multiverse, and it involves all the heroes and villains that you guys all fell in love with, and even the ones you hate. I played it for the storyline, and I came out, very surprisingly, I came out like, this is great. Even if you guys just play it just for the intro level is this huge, bombastic, action-packed, action set piece intro level. You're playing as Spider-Man, you're playing as Iron Man, you're playing as Storm. By the way, Storm is my favorite Marvel hero from X-Men.
Nice.
So you're playing this intro level, and it's so awesome, and then you get into the main game, and then when you play the main game, each character you choose has their own intro as well. Do me a favor, everybody. Download Marvel Future.
So,
okay, you have a question.
Yeah, I have a question. Before you tell everyone to download it. So here's what I heard. Okay.
You're going to say, don't download
it. Don't download it. No, I'm not going to say that, because actually I didn't download it, which is, I guess I should have downloaded it, so I can't really speak too much about this game, I guess. But I did read the review and edited the review as well that someone else wrote over on the Mean Review app. And what that person had to say about the game was that you are kind of almost forced, or I should say strongly encouraged, I guess, to play with every character. Like, play through the story with every character. So you have to play through the same story again with every single character, I heard, to grow, to be able to continue to grow stronger in the game. Like, there's an incentive of some sort. Like, you gain extra power. I don't know what it's called exactly in the game. Did you experience that? Like, have you thought about that? Did you just pick a character and play with that one? Or did you feel compelled to play through them? And wasn't that kind of boring to play through the same thing again?
So here it is. There's two things. There's the intro level you play through once, which is an amalgamation of a bunch of different characters. Then you choose your squad, which is up to 4 characters. And if you play through each of your squad member, they each have their own intro. So if I play as Captain America, he has an intro level that introduces the Red Skull. If I play through Storm, she has an intro level that introduces like Magneto. If I play through, I play through Spider-Man's intro level,
yeah.
And then you fight, I think, Green Goblin or something. So each character you choose has their own intro story segment, which is probably about 10 minute level. So all of those are different and unique in their own. However, that person is kind of right, because you can only take one character to play through the main game as.
Yeah.
So you can play through each different intro, which is awesome just for the story segment part. And then,
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and then you just have your main character. So you have that squad in the background, kind of, and you can like level up your squad ranking points. But yes, if you want to like switch your character, let's say I'm done playing as Storm, I want to switch to to Spider-Man, I have to literally replay all of like the actual base, the main game again. All those quests again. That part, I did not like because I want to be able to switch to Spider-Man and continue where I left off, where I am in the game.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily work that way. So that is a huge disappointment.
Yeah, I heard that each new character you play as increases the overall power level of the rest of your roster. I think that's how he phrased it over on Mean Review. So, but yeah, not to say that that necessarily makes it an experience that isn't worthwhile downloading. It's just that's the bad thing I heard about the game. And then, of course, the monetization. But as you also said, it's kind of the same as in every other mobile MMORPG out there.
Oh, yeah. It's that traditional MMORPG. Here's my advice, or here's my, I guess, the way I'm recommending it. And I kind of did this in my review of the game as well. Download the game. Play through the intro level, pick your favorite character, play through their intro level, and I would say play through, the first like 3 or 4 big story segments of the game. Mm. This might take a few hours or so, let's say, but you're going to see some awesome story moments with some awesome character reveals and some awesome twists and turns in the story, and then you'll get enjoyment out of that. I wouldn't consider it a long-term MMORPG, to be honest.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because of the combat is kind of bog standard. The quest design gets kind of tiresome as it goes on.
Yeah.
And of course, you do have your traditional monetization methods when it comes to upgrading your gear and leveling up and stuff like that. What I will say is cool about the game, though, is you have these different costume sets, right? You can mix and match your what's on your head, what's on your body, what's on your legs. And those are also armor sets. However, if you find this awesome-looking costume and you're like, oh, this is how I want my character to look like, but the stats are really low, you don't have to use those stats. You can use stats from like a higher level piece of gear and still keep what you look like, what your character cosmetically looks like.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
In other games, like they call it a transmog system, where you can like take high level gear that doesn't look good, but your low level gear actually looks better aesthetically and actually have you look like that low level gear but have high level stats. It does that, and I really found that interesting because I haven't seen many mobile games do something like that.
No.
Being able to choose the look over the actual stats, let's say. So that part was cool. So my recommendation is give it a try. If you're into MMORPGs and you like everything MMORPG related, you'll definitely like this. If you're into Marvel and you're not into MMORPGs, I say give it a try for the Marvel aspect.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, play it for a few hours and then, you can always get rid of it.
Yep.
That's an issue I run into a lot with many mobile games, is that they're actually fun for a good few hours, maybe 3, 5, it could be 10, maybe even 20 hours, and then some of them just turn into a complete grind or grind fest or of course just pay to win to the level where it can't be enjoyed as a free play anymore. But that doesn't mean that the first 5 hours weren't great. They could be amazing. So I've done that a lot of times, uninstalled when I hit that sort of pay wall or grind wall.
Yep.
Okay, so my recommendation, I guess I should preface my recommendation as well by saying that I typically, I love hardcore mobile games. I love shooters. I love MMORPGs. I love that type of stuff. But in between playing those big games, that take a lot of time, I like to play something else, something more casual. And this is where my recommendation comes in. Because Everdale is one of the most addicting games I've ever played. Like, I've got my own valley in that game now, which valley is a sort of like guild in the game. And so I'm collaborating with other players in that guild, in that valley, to expand it. And it's so fun, and you create buildings together. It's just cute and fun. And I really enjoy it as a game that I can just play for a few minutes here and there, almost like a semi-idle game. It isn't an idle game, but because you have to wait for everything. Like, you send out your... So I should say, maybe it's Supercell's latest game. It's a simulation city builder that released recently in some countries. I do not think it's out in the US yet. It's sort of a soft launch, but I'm able to play it here in Denmark. There's no hardcore PvP. There's no PvP at all. So you don't have to be afraid of like people coming in and robbing your goods, right? Which I really like, because it makes it a lot more casual experience, much more casual experience. And also means that the monetization of the game doesn't really impact you that much as a free player.
Okay.
The having to wait aspect is kind of, that might frustrate some players, but that's kind of the whole purpose of these types of games, right? Like, you send out your villagers to go cut down trees, And then they have to actually cut down the trees, you know? So they have to actually spend some time to cut down trees and so you get those resources. And then you can use those to craft new things, maybe build a new building, get more villagers into your little village, or help your guild, again, called a valley in this game, help that expand. So there are wait times everywhere, but it's implemented in such a way that it doesn't feel bad. It's difficult to really... I guess you kind of just have to try it. If you do expect it to be a game that you can play for hours on end, this is not going to be it. Like, you're going to have a bad time because you do have to wait. But that's why I said that sort of as your in-between other games game that you can just play for a few minutes and then close it down and come back, you know, a few hours later. I think this is a really good one. It's super polished. So that's my righteous recommendation. But I guess you haven't played it yet,
no.
Right? Because it's not out.
Yeah,
in the US.
I just did a Google search to see if it was out here in the States, and it's not. So we have to wait. I see images. What is very funny is I typed in Everdale, and I went to Google Images, and I got pictures of horses. So apparently, there's a horse named Everdale somewhere.
Okay, but that's not it.
But I do see images.
There aren't a lot of horses in this.
And I do see what it is, like that top-down, like city builder type. Yeah, resource management or whatnot. I'm interested only because it's been a long time since I've played a game like this. Like, you know, on my channel, I'm like, all right, let me see what game I want to play. I want an action game, or I want, like you said, a game that you can play for like hours at a time and get some good fun out of it. And it's been a while since I've actually played one of these type of games, so I'm interested when it comes out. Hopefully we get it over here and it's not one of those canceled Supercell games.
Oh, no. I think it's definitely gotten released. Like, yeah. Just speaking from experience of, like, experiencing the gameplay. It's so well made. It's so well put together. It is so polished. It really has that Supercell level of quality, of
quality
course,
to
right?
It, yeah.
It just oozes quality. I have a lot of good things to say about it. Now, the monetization part, to quickly address that, yes, you can pay to skip the wait times. Like, you can pay to make things happen faster. But again, there's no PvP aspect. There's no reason to do that. Like, the game is not meant to be played for an hour at a time and you spending gems to sort of speed up that progress so you can play for an hour at a time. That's not the design of the game. That's not how it was intended to be played. So as long as you come to the game, enter the game with the right expectations, I think you're going to have a great time with that game. But I also have to say, real quick, before we move on to the announcements and to the news, that I recently found a game called Hold Down, and it's a brick breaker game. You know, the brick break. Like, I used to play them so much in the Flash browser gaming days.
Oh, yes, brick breakers.
Yeah. So Hold Down is a $2.99 premium game, really worth the price. That's all I'm going to say. It's one of the... I've tried a lot of the Brick Breaker games on mobile, and they're so filled with ads and bad monetization tactics. But Hold Down is a premium game, $2.99, definitely worth the price if you guys like that type of gameplay experience. It's not very long, though, but I still think it's definitely worth the price. So, with that, let's get into the game announcements. You had so many game announcements, actually, prepared going into this podcast, many of which I didn't even know about, so I'll let you handle this part, Tiny.
Yeah, we have some exciting games. We have games that people probably didn't know existed, like you said. I didn't even know at first. But first and foremost, I would like to say that Sony has announced a new Wipeout game. So for all the Wipeout fans who played old school Wipeout on their PlayStations, it's that futuristic racer game that was super super fun, super fast paced. They actually announced a mobile version called Wipeout Rush. Now, before you go and buy your new phone or your new device thinking you're going to be playing some like next gen racing game on your phone, Wipeout Rush is a team race manager game with cards. So basically, you're watching as the race cars drive by, or the futuristic race cars drive by. You're throwing out, I guess, cards to give stats and boost bonuses, stuff such as that. Now,
me all excited there.
I know. Well, some people may enjoy that. Some people absolutely may like, you know, those type of games, those team management games. But from what I've been hearing, a lot of fans of the old school Wipeout games are not very excited about this game. When we haven't, I used to play Wipeout back in the day, and there hasn't been an actual traditional Wipeout game in years. I want to say maybe 2010 might have been like the last full release of a Wipeout game. So,
right.
So people have been waiting for something new. And then when a mobile version gets announced, that's kind of awesome because you can do racing games on mobile and you can do them very well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. This just doesn't look like it's one of those. I mean, even the art style, if you go and do a Google search on the art style of what like the race cars look like, they don't look very great. It almost looks like
That's a shame.
It looks like a rush job. pardon the pun, because it's Wipeout Rush, but it's definitely something that they rushed. So Wipeout Rush for anyone who's interested. Next up on our list is Final Fantasy First Soldier. Now, Final Fantasy First Soldier was announced a while back, I think, during a Square Enix conference. And so we've talked about it, I think, before. It's basically a Final Fantasy Battle Royale game using Final Fantasy characters. I think it's set in the Final Fantasy VII universe, which has that more militaristic view of Final Fantasy World. So it had its closed beta, I want to say a few months back, so that ended. So it's coming really close to release, and initial impressions of the game were pretty good. The graphics look really nice, the art style looks really nice. One cool aspect is that you can summon summons to the battlefield. So you know, Final Fantasy has you know, you can summon Shiva, she'll come down and she'll be like the goddess and do some damage or whatnot to your enemies. So you can do summons in the battlefield, which I thought was kind of cool. While interesting enough having a Final Fantasy Battle Royale game, I am very curious about the whole Battle Royale aspect and the fact that Battle Royale is still a genre and a word into its existence all these years later. I mean, I'm quite surprised that Battle Royales are still, they're still making money.
Yeah, but how are you going to compete with, well, I guess we're going to talk more about Fortnite later because of the Apple versus Epic lawsuit, but how are you going to compete with PUBG Mobile or Free Fire or even Call of Duty Mobile has a Battle Royale mode as well. How are you going to compete with those games? I get that Final Fantasy is a big franchise. It's a huge franchise, and it has lots of fans because of that.
That's what they're banking on, yeah.
I guess that's what they're hoping will bring in the dough to pay for their continued development and servers. I'm skeptical. That's all I'm going to say. Let's see how it is once it releases, but they have to do something new if they want to enter that space these days, I feel like. It's not enough for it just to be Final Fantasy. My experience of the Final Fantasy franchise, and you know, let me know if you agree or not, and also you guys listening, you can rant at me in the comments below, but I have this feeling that while Final Fantasy is a beloved franchise, we're not talking about that many people who have actually played it enough that they're gonna be willing to play a maybe mediocre Battle Royale version of it. I'm, you know, who's to say? Maybe it's gonna be the greatest Battle Royale out there, but the point is that I don't think there's enough people who've played Final Fantasy. And I know that sounds strange, right? Because it's a huge franchise, but it's also a premium game. And if you want to enter the Battle Royale scene, right, you have to make it free-to-play. I'm going to assume it's free-to-play, right? It has to be.
Yeah.
And there are so many free-to-play players who don't know Final Fantasy.
That's a good point.
At all, because they're not used to paying for games. So I'm just, there's a disconnect there, I feel, that is going to be, it's going to be interesting to see how that turns out. I am going to guess that it will be closed down within 3 years.
Ooh,
2 or 3 years.
Ooh, that's harsh. And can we first, you forgot to say your disclaimer that you'd never played a Final Fantasy game.
I kind of skipped past.
So that's
that.
You're in that market, but I
you remembered.
I remembered very. I was just hoping that the listeners have remembered that aspect. But I see a point that you're coming from because let's say do they want to attract fans of Battle Royale? Right, of course they do. They want the people who are into Battle Royales or into that genre. And then now, like you said, you're crossing a cross genre type thing here, where you might have some hardcore Final Fantasy players or people who've played all of them, like me, who aren't really into Battle Royales that much or who haven't even really played Battle Royales. So what's going to make them pick it up? Oh, just because of the Final Fantasy name? I like to believe some of us Final Fantasy fans are smarter than that.
Yeah.
And to think just because a name is thrown on there that it's not going to be this pristine product, because we've been burned in the past when it comes to name branding and stuff like that when it comes to Final Fantasy. Yep. So there's even that aspect too. You're crossing genres. It's a big risk, and I know you can't have reward without a big risk, so maybe this risk will pay off, but I do have a feeling, like you said, I don't know about shut down, but I do think they're gonna have an issue making their funds back, let's say, when it comes to that.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, moving on, we're still talking about Battle Royales because PUBG New State, we all know PUBG New State has been announced.
Yeah.
But I just want to give another announcement that it hit its 40 million pre-registrations. So over 40 million people have pre-registered for PUBG New State, and I am one of them.
Like that has got to be a new record, I think. I've never heard.
I want to say it is. That's a huge for pre-registrations.
That is absolutely insane. I mean, I like to follow those types of news, those types of industry updates. We're like, hey, this and this game got so, like,
yeah, this many
Pokemon
downloads.
Unite, which we're going to talk about later. Yeah, got so many downloads or pre-registrations, but 40 million? Wow.
That's
impressive.
That's very impressive. I mean,
I was just going to say, it really speaks to the power of PUBG and what we just talked about. Like,
yep.
Anyway, it's going to be difficult to compete with that.
Well, and here's the thing. People, I think, are interested in another PUBG because they've played the heck out of the original PUBG. And what's different about this one is it's a first-person shooter battle royale. So it's going to be a different take, a different look. It's supposed to take place in the more futuristic setting. So apparently it's going for a whole different look. And I think it's not even, I think it's made in collaboration with the PUBG developer and another developer. I can't recall the name right now. I wish I would have looked it up.
Okay.
But yeah, so they're going a first-person shooter route. I'm guessing that it's going to have the same battle royale mechanics and all that stuff, but just more of a first-person shooter. I have this feeling that it was... The reason why this is coming up is because I think Call of Duty Warzone, if anybody plays that on PC, it's a first-person shooter. It's their battle royale mode. It's very popular. Everyone's been playing Call of Duty Warzone, and I have a feeling that this PUBG new state is going to try to fit that. It's going to try to get into that, that popularity on mobile.
I think you're absolutely right about that. So that's going to be interesting. I don't play PUBG, but I know a lot of people do. A lot of people love it, and I get it. I don't enjoy the long play sessions, but I definitely get it. It's a great game, you know.
All right, guys. Next news is going to be the kicker here. Everybody get ready. Grab your popcorn. This is going to be awesome. For fans of the TV series The Office, I'm talking about the American US TV series. There was a British Office as well, which is just as funny. But for fans of The Office, the TV show, there's going to be an Office mobile game. Everybody,
yay!
Get excited. high five each other. air high fives, invisible high fives. They're making an Office mobile game. And I gotta be honest, I don't think anybody asked for this. I am a huge Office fan. I've watched the show probably 10 times over, whether it's in the background or whether I've sat down and watched all the seasons. I think it's hilarious. Steve Carell, who plays Michael Scott, is hilarious in that role. It's so good. Yeah. I do not think we need an Office actual mobile game. And rumor is it's an idle tapper, which makes sense because why wouldn't it be an idle tapper? I just don't see myself really excited.
No, I'm not really excited for that either. But The Office is so good. It is so great. And it took me forever to start watching that show. And it's one of my all-time favorites. Just this quote in itself, would I rather be feared or loved? Easy.
Yeah. Both.
I want people to be afraid of how much they love me. I mean, of course, I can't deliver it like Michael Scott, but man,
it's so good.
Anyway,
and it's funny.
Mobile games.
Yeah, mobile games. Yeah, now, we can actually just do a whole episode on The Office if you guys want to. You know.
Yeah.
I was in the same boat as you though. I didn't watch that show when it first came out. It took me years to probably finally pick it up, and then I started watching it on Netflix with Tiny Wife.
Yeah.
And we just fell in love with it. And we've watched it so many times. So maybe what I'll do is I'll download The Office mobile game and be like, here, look, honey, here's a new Office entertainment for you, and see what she thinks about it. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe she'll like it. Has she played idle games before?
I don't think so. No, maybe not. Maybe I should ask her. I don't know much about
maybe.
Her. No.
What? Let's hope she's not listening.
She's just going to be sitting there tapping on the phone. Hey, we'll do a Tiny Wife review.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for our
announcements, right? For the game announcements.
Yeah, that's it for the game announcements.
So we actually have some more. I guess we're going to continue with sort of announcement, but they're more general news. Battlefield Mobile, the alpha version of that, released. So it's not so much an announcement. It has actually released in Thailand. So if you live in Thailand, you can download it on Google Play. But if you are on Android, you can also download it pretty much anywhere else in the world. You can find so many guides out there. You can go over to gamingonphone.com, which is, you know, shout out to our friends over at Gaming on Phone. That's where we actually get most of our news for the podcast at this point. But they have guides on how you can download it. Of course, do be aware. I mean, I can't really recommend it in terms of like viruses and stuff like that. But you know, you can download it if you want to. Battlefield Mobile, I think it's going to be amazing. It has full-scale destruction, by the way, of buildings.
Seriously.
I mean, how freaking awesome is that?
Yeah.
Just like the PC and console versions. Yeah. And it that's the unique thing about that game is, you know, you can be running around inside a house and a tank can just come like bombarding through it or shooting a wall away, and then your you know, you're exposed and they're, you have to run very quickly, right? And you don't get that experience in many other shooters, I think. I love Battlefield.
I agree. Battlefield, okay, if I had to choose between Call of Duty and Battlefield, and I'm talking back in the day when they're on console and PCs, I did love Call of Duty for some of its online multiplayer, but Battlefield, I did always love that destruction thing. There could be an enemy in a building, and if you're rocket launching that building enough times, that enemy's gonna die. And then let's say I'm the one in that building, and I'm trying to run for my life to jump out because I know they're trying to take down this building.
Yeah.
I used to love those gameplay moments, and I really hope that, Battlefield Mobile kind of gives us that, or at least, even if it's on a smaller scale or it's not as grand, I just kind of hope it does. Now, when COD Mobile came out, it blew me away for what we can do with first person online shooters, and I'm hoping this does this for Battlefield.
I really hope so as well. And rumors are that there will be full scale destruction, so I think you are gonna get a limited version of that, but the actual thing, I'm ready for
Nimble to blow me out of the building.
Yes, come at me. That's gonna be great. So one thing I enjoyed about the older Battlefield games on PC is the idea of a commander and squad leaders.
Yes.
And them being able to send in UAVs and things that in Call of Duty games, you have those as score streak rewards. So if you kill 5 people without getting killed or 3 people, then you can call in a UAV, for example, or an airstrike. Things like that also exist in the Battlefield franchise, but they used to, at least back in the day, there used to be something that a commander, one person on your team, had to sort of activate, or at least a squad leader. It changed throughout the development of the series.
Yep, strategically activated.
Yeah, I think those strategic elements, I mean, that's absolutely what I loved the most about Battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't exist in the first Battlefield games, but I loved when they introduced those, but they did also become too... you had to have a good commander who could focus on being the commander of the team and not just run around and shoot people. So I think that was the tricky part, because you didn't always get that. I don't think we're going to see that part on mobile, unfortunately. And they also did sort of take a step back on the PC versions in regards to these strategic commander squad leader elements,
yeah,
as far as I understand.
I agree.
So... But Battlefield 2, Battlefield 2142, those two games were really big on those elements. I hope we're going to see some of that on mobile, but we'll see. I mean, I'll play it regardless, probably.
I just hope they keep the squads. So you know how you had your team of 4, let's say, and if 3 of you died, as long as one squad mate was able to stay alive, you can respawn back on him, as opposed to, respawning at a point. And like I said...
That's another thing.
Yeah, again, like... I feel like Battlefield has those strategic moments. Like, I'm the last one alive and I have my team telling me, don't die, please don't die. And I'm sitting in a corner just trying not to die just so they can respawn on me. Like, those little moments, those are memories that I have of playing Battlefield back in the day.
Yeah.
And if this can, like I said, if this can deliver that, even if it's a smaller scale version of that, I'm super excited for Battlefield on mobile.
Awesome. So... the only bad news, I guess, in that regard is that we probably have to wait for a pretty long time. This is an alpha release.
Yeah.
The graphics, I mean, I've seen video footage. The graphics don't look finished or finalized. It looks okay, but I think there's more development there and more polish to be made from the developer's side. So 2022 release, maybe, maybe not. I mean, I really think we have to wait for at least a year before.
I would say probably late 2022.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Maybe late 2022.
Yeah, holiday season.
That's probably what they're aiming for.
Yeah.
But a game that has released though is Pokemon Unite, that globally released very recently. So, I mean, I think most people know that at this point. But what do we think about it? Well, I quite enjoyed it. I'll start by saying what I liked about it. I haven't played it a lot, by the way, and I know there are negatives and there's stuff about the monetization that some people don't like, and I get that, or the progression system. I definitely get that. But what I do enjoy about it is that they didn't just create another League of Legends clone or another MOBA clone. They took the idea of a MOBA, but then they made a twist on it, and they... For those who've played Kick Flight, by the way, which is one of my favorite mobile games of all times that have now sadly closed down. It closed down in January this year. But Kick Flight, they took the idea of Kick Flight, where you had to kill opponents and then gain points for doing that. Like, literally picking up points. Like, when they die, some points appear and you have to pick those up. And then you have to go to a goalpost and deliver them at that goalpost. And, of course, the opponents are going to try to prevent you from doing that. And that's kind of how you score points in... in Pokemon Unite as well. So it's not your average MOBA where you have to kill towers and have to kill, you know, units that PvE units that are sent from the opponent's base, and then you have to get to the heart and you have to destroy the heart. That is not it in Pokemon Unite. And I can really appreciate that part. And I think it's great as a casual game to play with friends. So maybe we should actually play it a bit, because I know you haven't played it a whole lot either. Isn't that right?
Yeah, so I downloaded it because I'm like, all right, I want to give this a try. And I played one round, literally only one round. So I didn't get the full spectrum of what was going on. I was like, okay, I know this is like a MOBA type game. And I did notice some differences from traditional MOBAs. I will say I really like the art design. I really like the art style, the colorful, the Pokemon. I mean, honestly, anything Pokemon related when it comes to like the designs or what it looks like, I'm a big fan of, just because they're like classic, right? They're just this classic old school cartoon trading cards thing. So I do like the design of it and I do like the feel, but I have to reserve my full judgment until I can like play some more of it. And yeah, if we can get some battles together, that would be awesome. I'm not a big fan of like MOBAs. However, there are a few of them that I've really gotten into that I'm like, okay, this is cool.
I think it's a matter of who this game is for, right? It's not for the hardcore. Like, you'll probably just play Wild Rift or something like that. Like, if you're a really hardcore MOBA player. But if you're more of a casual player, if you love Pokemon, which obviously a lot of people out there do, myself included. So if you do that, then I think Pokemon Unite is worth a download, for sure. And staying on that topic of Pokemon, there's a new trading card game coming as well to MOBA.
Aren't we all excited for more trading card games?
Yeah, well...
well, some of us are.
But this is Pokemon.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
This is Pokemon. It's cross-platform, PC and mobile. So the interesting thing is that we have already had a digital card game in the Pokemon universe. Like the literal card game that you know from the physical
cards
that you collected, right? So that card game, that game, not a different game, but that game, we have had a digital version of that for PC for a very long time, but it wasn't out on mobile. I think it was out on tablets, maybe, but not on mobile. So we're going to get that now. And it's also... it's a new version that's also going to replace the current version on PC, I think. So this is really the new Pokemon TCG to get into if you want to play Pokemon. And I think I'm probably going to check it out. Now, Pokemon obviously is pay to win. I mean, it obviously is, in the sense that you have to buy packs of cards.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can probably unlock them for free as well over time, but you have to grind a lot. So obviously it's pay to win. I mean, most card games are pay to win, but it's a different type of pay to win than what we're used to talking about in terms of mobile games, right? It's a different type, but it is still sort of a pay-to-win system. But needless to say, I think most TCG players know that and are okay with that, right? I think it's sort of accepted. Hearthstone, pay-to-win as well, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, of course it is. Like, you if you want to win, if you want to get the best cards, you can pay to get them instantly, almost instantly.
I mean, if you think about it, it's the original pay-to-win. It's the original... I mean, back when Pokemon first started back as an actual, like, real in real life trading card game or in real life battle card game, you're going to the store, you're buying your packs, and then you don't know what you're going to get. It's a basically gacha system. You don't know what cards you're going to get.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, I got the ultimate Charizard, or I got the whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And you collect your cards and then you go out and you battle with them. And depending on the rules sets of the game, whether it's for keeps or whatever you do, it's like the original in-app purchases, the original packs. Like, it's just weird to think that it started so long ago and now we just have a digital form of that. So yeah, here we are.
We've gone full circle.
Yeah, we've gone full circle. We're in the Matrix now, man.
Oh yeah. Oh, there's a new Matrix movie coming out. Are we excited?
I'm excited.
Are we excited?
With Keanu, I'm excited. Expect a tiny review of The Matrix when it comes out in whatever podcast we do then.
Yep. Maybe we have to start a movie podcast as well. Oh, no. The world doesn't need more movie podcasts.
No, the world doesn't need more movie reviews.
But what many people in the world, though, just think about this segue. What many people in the world will need is a new miHoYo game, because so many people are addicted to Genshin Impact.
Yes.
Some hate it, some love it. A lot of people really play it, and that's what matters, right? So ultimately, a lot of people enjoy it. The developers of Genshin Impact are called miHoYo, and they also developed Honkai Impact 3rd. Like the Honkai Impact series of games.
One of my favorite games of 2018.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an older game, right? So, but they're now making a new game in that series of games called Honkai Star Rail. And as you also pointed out in the pre-show, it was actually accidentally accidentally released on iOS for a few hours, I think, before the developers, of course, figured it out and they took it down. But that means a lot of people were able to download the game client. And though it's not a full game yet, it's a little sort of somewhat early in development, I think. We were able to gather a few details, of course, from that. And so what I've been able to gather from those people who gathered that data is that it seems to be an open world RPG, kind of like, you know, that's kind of what miHoJo does well, but more focused on turn-based strategy. That's how I understood it. So the combat is turn-based, strategy-based. So we'll have to see what that means. I'm a little afraid that it might just be sort of a cash grab. Like, it might just be a, hey, we're so popular now, let's make a game for this strategy, turn-based strategy people out there that don't like the action-based combat of Honkai Impact 3rd or Genshin Impact. But maybe it's actually going to be a great strategy game. The other games by miHoJo have been great. I mean, that's the public perception, at least. Like, the average mobile gamer actually enjoys Genshin Impact. So, what do you think? Like, Honkai, Star Rail?
I have a few concerns. One of my concerns is how fast this game, or how, now I don't know their development cycle, and I don't know if they've been working on this game since Honkai Impact, and maybe a different team worked on Genshin Impact, let's say. But, like, the fact that, like, one's already announced and it's going to be on the way and that there's footage of it and this and that, I guess it leads me to believe, like, it might have been pushed out, like, rushed a little, like you said, like a cash grab, like, oh, we're super popular now, we have to make sure we're getting another game out so that way we can continue that popularity. If I want to, my biggest fear, that's one of my biggest fears for me, you pronounced it miHoJo, but I always pronounced it miHoYo because of the Y, but either way, so I'm not really sure which one, to be honest, but my biggest fear is that miHoYo is going to get, like, super duper popular, which is great, I love that, more money, but then they're going to start releasing games more often, and then the quality is going to start diminishing.
Yeah,
I mean, we've made comparisons to Supercell and how they do their releases and how they're kind of far in between, but they're really polished and there's something different and there's something unique. My biggest fear is that this is going to come out and I'm going to get so excited. Oh man, it's going to be a Honkai Impact game and it's not what I expected, or the quality just isn't there. The released footage, I know it was really, really new, but even the graphics don't even look as good as Genshin Impact in a way, which that kind of worries me as well. I'm not so concerned about turn-based. I do like turn-based, but my biggest fear as well is there's going to be a lot of auto mechanics if it's turn-based, because mobile games are big fans of auto mechanics when it comes to their turn-based games.
Yeah.
I would love a Honkai Impact open world RPG with Honkai Impact combat, like Honkai Impact 3rd combat, which was one of my favorite things about that game. Give us that combat, but give us an open world kind of like Genshin Impact, but make it like a futuristic world in the Honkai universe. I think that would be great. But it doesn't look like that's the route they're going.
This is this is not it. This is a turn-based strategy gacha game.
I'm already
game.
Disappointed.
but with an open world element, in that I think there's sort of, instead of a menu, you actually run around a town or a little world, and then when you enter combat, it's turn-based strategy gacha. So there you go. Time will tell.
My fingers are crossed.
Yes, my fingers are crossed as well, for sure. I mean, I would love for it to be a great game. But there's other big news. Epic versus Apple. Epic news.
I was just going to say that. I was like, oh my gosh, missed opportunity. Epic news.
Oh, Nimble Thor. I'm falling off here. Like, this is not good. Okay. Epic news. Epic versus Apple. The lawsuit. We've talked about it before, but it now actually ended. So it's the one where Epic Games sued Apple over the 30% fee that Apple takes for in-app purchases, and Epic Games, you know, don't want to pay that for Fortnite and other games they're going to release. So that's the short and sweet of it, at least. But a judge has now ruled that Apple is not running a monopoly with the App Store, which means that Epic, basically, like, they won't be able to create a competing store, a competing App Store, which I think is what they initially planned. They haven't talked about it. Of course, they wouldn't straight up say that, but I think that's what they hoped would happen. Just look at on PC. I mean, what they've done on PC in terms of competing with Steam, I think they would love to do that on mobile as well, both iOS and Android. And it also means, by the way, well, this is not something the judge decided, but Apple decided that Fortnite has been blacklisted from the App Store, so that it's not going to come back on iOS for up to 5 years.
Yep, that's 5 years in Apple jail.
That happened, which is crazy. I mean,
but also,
it's crazy to think of.
Didn't it also come out, though? So it came out that the judge said that Apple didn't have to allow third party, like, apps, let's say, like an Epic Store, but didn't they say Apple has to allow them to people to click like an in-app purchase and go to a different place to make that purchase? So there's a backwards thing to that too. So it's kind of like Apple won and lost in a way. It's weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So obviously Epic Games lost in the sense that Fortnite is not getting back on iOS for a long time, and they won't be like they won't be able to force Apple to allow them to create a third-party app store for iOS. But you're absolutely right that the judge also ruled that Apple has to allow people, game developers, to let their players pay elsewhere. I mean, not using the Apple payment system or the Apple in-app payment, in-app purchase system. So, for example, a developer could ask you to, like, you click a button in-game to buy a certain thing, and then you go to a website instead.
Yeah.
And then you pay through that. And I'm sure we're going to see services pop up, like financial services pop up, that's going to make this a lot easier now that Apple actually has to allow this. Previously, if you did this, if you told people to, hey, you know, go buy, let's say it was a small indie game, right? And they said, hey, you know, guys, go, you know, support us by buying it directly from our website, you would get banned.
Yep.
Like Apple would boot you off the store. They didn't want that. But now they can't do that anymore. So that's basically it for now. But Epic, I think Epic still has the opportunity to appeal the decision, I think. And they also have a lawsuit going on in other countries and one versus Google as well.
Of course.
So, yeah. So I have a sense that we haven't seen the last of Epic on mobile. But it remains to be seen what will actually happen. And my prediction, which I think is a safe prediction, but still, you know, it's fun to predict stuff or attempt to do it at least and then fail miserably. My prediction is that Epic is going to make a store for Android.
Yeah, that's I think I'm with you 100% on that. Like you said, you made the comparison to the PC Epic Game Store. I feel like they want their own store that you click and open up like you would open Google Play Store, and then you download and purchase apps from that store.
Yep.
I have a feeling when it comes to the Google lawsuit with Epic, I feel like it might go in Epic's direction a little bit easier, only because Google is more open source to begin with.
Mm.
They still take their cut of whatever percentage it is. I'm not sure if it's the exact same 30% as Apple does.
It's the same.
Yeah, they still 30%. Take their percentage. And a lot of places, Steam takes their percentage. Epic Game Store, I think, takes a lot less percentage when it comes to their games.
Yeah, way
PC
less.
Because, of course, they're trying to be more friendly to developers, you know, to get those games over, which makes sense. I mean, this whole lawsuit, a lot of things came out of this lawsuit, but I like that this is kind of like the cap, or the not necessarily the full end, but at least we have an answer to what's going on. And even the answer is a little bit weird and convoluted, because like I said, it's like Apple won in a sense, but then they also lost in a sense, and then Epic lost in a sense, but they kind of won maybe. But the fact that Fortnite is banned for the next 5 years is crazy. When I first heard that news, I was like, oh, well, that's it for Fortnite, because 5 years from now, they're not going to be that popular anyway.
Yeah, right.
5 years from now, they're probably going to be even more popular. I shouldn't even have thought of that. I can't believe Fortnite is still a thing. Nothing against Fortnite or those who play it or anything, you know, more power to you. But I mean, that game has to be going on, what, 8 years at this point? Or what, no, seven? I mean, six years?
I
mean, it's just,
but,
it's just
but
going.
It's getting old. Yeah. It's getting old. I mean, so, of course, when it released, you didn't have the Battle Royale part. But it released in 2017, initially released in 2017.
Okay, then I was way over-quoting the years. Maybe it feels like 8 years.
So it's 4 years. So I think we've had the Battle Royale for 3 or 4 years.
Okay, so people who started playing Fortnite now have their college degree. Okay, so that is a while.
Yes, that's a way to think about it. So, yeah, I mean, the thing is that they've been able to sort of position themselves so well in the market that also in terms of the esport aspect of it. So I think of it almost like Counter-Strike, right?
That's true.
Very few people really talk about Counter-Strike these days. I mean, what's there to talk about? Like, you know, one of the largest shooters on PC, huge competitive scene. If you're into the esport aspect, there's, of course, lots to talk about. But what I mean is in terms of like, unlike Call of Duty, where you have new games releasing constantly, and Battlefield as well, new games every 3 or 4 years or something like that. With Counter-Strike, they live for way longer, and they just focus on the esports aspect. I could see the same thing happening for Fortnite, that they're not the talk of the town anymore, and maybe they don't get as many new players entering the game anymore as they used to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, they won't be able to keep that up forever, but they can still be massively successful if they find a way to sort of sustain their esports aspect, like the esports team of Fortnite.
I mean, if they're still popular and I'm 80 years old, we're going to have to eat our words.
Yep.
Fortnite season 1000.
Yeah. That's true, yeah. You gotta buy all the season passes.
You gotta
passes.
Buy all the seasons up to 1,000. You gotta get caught up, guys. You gotta get caught up on the seasons.
So that's happening. I mean, remains to be seen, but certainly nice, I guess. It's just nice that it now ended and we know what happened because I've been so interested in hearing what the judge decided. Mm-hmm. But in other news, sort of merging in, we talked about Netflix. We talked about The Matrix earlier. Sorry, my segue was getting into Netflix because Netflix wants to get into mobile gaming. And this is a bit of an older piece of news, I know that. But I just think it's really interesting because it probably means that we'll see lots more mobile games of all sorts. I mean, based on Netflix franchises. We just talked about The Office, right? That's not a Netflix show, but, you know, games being developed based on TV series and movies isn't a new thing, and it's not always a good thing. Mm-hmm. But the thing that's interesting with Netflix's approach, at least so far, is that, you know, if you look at the Stranger Things games, those are actually good games. And I think, if I recall correctly, one of them is a premium game as well. So, I mean, no pay to win or the like. And I think with Netflix's new approach, if I understood it correctly, if you're a subscriber, like if you have Netflix, then these games are going to be free. I think that could be really interesting because it's kind of the opposite of trying to turn them into cash cows and then earn a lot of money and spend a lot of gold on popular franchises. The opposite of that would be, hey, you have Netflix, you can see the movies, you can watch the TV series, mm-hmm. and of course you can play the games based on those shows. That would be interesting, I think.
I really find it interesting because Netflix is already a subscription service, right? And so there's this big push for subscription services when it comes to games. You have Xbox Game Pass, you have Stadia, which I can't believe I'm saying the word Stadia. We haven't even talked about Stadia in so long. Maybe next podcast we can go into the rise and fall of Stadia.
Yeah.
But anyway, we have all these game services or whatnot. So Netflix is like, we're already in the subscription market, so why don't we just take this next step? And like you said, if you're already a subscriber, you get those games, but maybe it'll get people to subscribe. Let's say Netflix releases a game that's getting good reviews. Let's say, you know, it could be a mobile game or maybe something casual, or maybe it's something more hardcore based on a franchise, and then other people are like, oh man, I really want to play that. Well, I'll just get a Netflix subscription. I'll get to watch Netflix shows and movies, and I'll be able to play this game. So I think it's a really good marketing way of doing things. My biggest curiosity when I first heard this news was like, okay, there's a Netflix app. I have it downloaded on my phone. Let's say I want to watch a show on my break time or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I already have the app, and I'm guessing I could just click on the game through the app and play it. But then I'm thinking, well, what about people who don't have the Netflix app and they just have Netflix on their TVs? Like, are they still going to be able to play these games? How do they control
it? No, I don't think
so. Yeah, that was my thing. Like, because how would they control it? Would they control it with their remote control? Would they control it with their phone, but it's being casted to the screen? I mean, maybe they'll do a screen casting thing.
I mean, that's technically possible. It's technically possible, but I don't think that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, because I was like, okay, your game controller could be your mobile phone, but it's on the screen on your Netflix app on your TV. I was thinking of all these wild and crazy things, but I think like what you said, if you break it down, it's really just going to be based off a Netflix app on your phone and the games on your phone, or maybe those games are on Google Play. No, because like you said, they're going to go through the Netflix subscription.
Yeah, I don't know how exactly they're going to be distributed, but maybe through Google Play, but I think it's going to be integrated into the Netflix app or at least distributed through the Netflix app in one way or the other.
It has to be, Well, I mean, with that known, what's some good ideas? Like, what games do we want to see from Netflix? I'm trying to think of, like, a Netflix series.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Stranger Things game was pretty popular, I think.
We're talking about the top-down one, right, with pixel art style. Yeah, I played that.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what it was called.
I did a video on it years ago, and I still can't remember.
No.
But that one was pretty fun. It had, like, a cool little, like, adventure, like, puzzle element to it, and had some combat with, like, your slingshot.
Yeah.
That one was pretty cool. So, I mean, we have Netflix, of course, on the board already.
I think, actually, I'm seeing Stranger Things 3, the game, being distributed through Google Play, but I can't download it. So I think it's because maybe these games are actually being distributed through Google Play, but you can access them only via a link that you click through Netflix. I don't know how they're gonna do this, but
interesting.
Well, I'm not sure. And then you link your accounts, maybe. It remains to be seen. But okay, so which franchises
do we want to see?
What's that mirror
Black Mirror.
Black Mirror. That would be cool. I don't know how you would make a game based on that, but
it would have to be like an adventure mystery game based on choice or something along those lines. Well, and it's interesting because The Witcher is a Netflix series, and I know we already have a Witcher Monster Slayer mobile game, but The Witcher, I mean, that's a possibility.
Big big brain over there. Oh, they should make a The Witcher game. That's a good idea. We've never had that before. Sorry.
I see what you did there. but no, guys, this is The Witcher game with Netflix, though. So Henry Cavill's going to be in it.
Yeah, and it's way worse. Wait, what?
And it's way worse. I just got that.
Yeah.
All right, what other Netflix series do we have? I'm trying to think of, like, not cartoons, but, like, sometimes they have some animated series. Sometimes they're more adult-oriented. But I think some animated series that are on Netflix might make good mobile games.
Yeah, those could probably do well. I agree about that. There's this one called Final Space, which I really enjoyed. And actually, by the way, a new season just released for anyone who's interested. I've not watched it yet, but I'm really looking forward to getting into it.
No spoilers, everyone.
But I think that... Yeah, no spoilers, please. But that's a sort of adult animation, you know, TV series. That one's pretty cool. I think that could be turned into a really nice game. You of course have something like BoJack Horseman.
Yeah,
I guess.
Stuff like that.
I don't
maybe.
Know. Yeah. I haven't watched the last of that, but I saw the first couple of episodes or seasons.
And we keep thinking about like franchises, but who knows? Maybe they'll just make an original game, who knows, like, you know, something brand new.
They could
and then make a series off of that game, and then make a game off of that series, and then it's just a huge cycle of back and forth.
I have another one. You know this new game they invented? They made a show about it. It's called The Queen's Gambit.
Oh. it's gonna be
they turn that
it's into
gonna
a be a chess game.
So it's just chess. Yeah, it's just chess.
We'll see what they come up with. It's a Queen's Gambit game, but here's the twist: it's not chess; it's auto chess.
No, it's auto chess.
And you put the characters from the show, and they do battle, and yeah, you know.
Yep. That'd be great. Let's all hope that's actually going to happen, and we'll be able to talk about that in future episodes.
Oh my gosh!
If that happens, then we
win, I guess, whatever the award. But anyway,
we win absolutely. Yeah, we predicted something successfully. But I was going to say that it'd be so cool if people still listening would leave a comment about sort of what sort of Netflix show they think could be turned into a game, and we'd have a cool conversation about that in the comment section. So if you're on YouTube, where you can actually leave a comment, go leave a comment about that. And with that, I think that's all for now. We're going to wrap it up here. But let us know what you think about the topics covered today. I mean, everything from the Apple versus Epic. That was a combination.
The Epic lawsuit.
Everything from the Apple lawsuit to miHoYo to, I mean, all of it, Battlefield. What do you think about it? Do let us know. We're curious to hear what you guys think. Do you agree or disagree with our thoughts on that? And also, remember to tell Tiny that you disagree with his righteous recommendation, of course. And the fact that I haven't played Final Fantasy. You can roast
yes,
us both. That's okay. And if you want more of our content, you know, you can go check out both of our channels on YouTube. Search for NimbleThor, search for Tiny Little Games. You're going to find our videos on there. We cover lots of new mobile games. So if you're into that, I think you're going to enjoy those channels. We're also on Discord, by the way. Links for the Discord server are in the description box of this episode. And so with all of that long intro out of the way, that's all for now. So until next time, just have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you guys in the next episode, which is not going to be 3 months from now. It's going to be 1 month from now. I'm making a promise here. Okay,
you.
1 month from now, a new episode. So till next time, guys, see you and have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye.